the Dead Church at Sardis. Back in this series again, snooping into these pastors' offices and reading these letters they got from the Lord. Today is a scathing one to a pastor of the church in a town called Sardis that Jesus himself calls a dead church. So that's where we're at. This will play today and tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. Looking forward to seeing you at Island tonight. If you can't make it, you can watch us live on Facebook, too. That feed will kick off live right at 6 o'clock, Island Community Church, if you are a Facebook kind of person. More info on me, I'm available, paul at wgodradio.com. It's the best way to get a hold of me. Okay, let's get into the Word of God now. And again, if it's Wednesday evening, that means it's 5:30. That means you guys still got 25 minutes to get to Island to take part in our Bible study. I guarantee you, you'll be blessed by spending time in the Word of God. Are you dead or alive? Just wait until preaching the Word is declared to be hate speech. Now, where Danny and I work, my other job is at a radio station. And when I get to put folders like Michael Youssef and David Jeremiah, when I get into their account, they have folders that say Canada on them. You know what that means? They're not allowed to talk about sin in Canada. So they have special programs that the audio technician has taken out all references to sin when the program plays in Canada. We don't want to hurt your pee wings if you live in Canada. That's where we're going here in this country. And Jesus is trying to warn you to wake up. If you're dead and oblivious to that, wake up. Smell the coffee. We're near the end of the age now. How will you know that when this world's full of COVID? That's how you'll know. And when the government tries to force you to have an identifying mark to buy or sell, these are the signs that Jesus gave you that you will know we're living at the end of the age when the government forces you to receive something to buy or sell. And when there's droughts everywhere and famines. It's time to stop playing church. The dead church is oblivious to the age that we live in. All right, point number two. I said number one was wake up. Number two, quit just going through the motions. Reminds me how we used to pray over dinner when I was a kid. You're going to pray over dinner and you'll like it. God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food. Amen. We did that for 15 years at our house. Now that is the very definition of going through the motions. Or my mother's prayer. Oh, bless this food to our use and us to thy service. I still remember it 59 years later. I still remember it. Quit going through the motions. Romans 13:11, it says, knowing that it's a high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Third remedy, remember. Remember how it used to be. Back in the Old Testament, God instructed the Jews to erect some stones for a remembrance. Let's go back to where your stones of remembrance are. Go back to where and when God moved mightily in your life. Go on back to there and get that back. Get back to remember how it used to be. When you were first saved, get that back. It's only natural. That's why God told them to put stones up. Because we are forgetful creatures. And we forget. We tend to forget all that God has done for us in our life. It's why we take communion every month. It's why Catholics take it every week, bless their heart, lest we forget all that Jesus has done for us. Get back your zeal for God. Number four, have a revival. Not a camp meeting, a revival. Heaven forbid you come in here on a Tuesday or a Friday like you're going to melt or something. I'm melting. I'm in church on a Tuesday. Try it. You won't die. Heaven forbid coming here on a Tuesday and praise God. Try that on for size and see what happened. Have a real revival where you come in here with a soft heart and open ears and you let God show you if you actually need any help. Is there anyone here besides me that could use a little help? Every day. What are you, Mike Erdman? Every day. Is there any sinners in here besides me? You know, I think we're going to have someone else come in and do a revival here so that you and me can be on this end of it. We all need help. That's why he said these things. We're fallen creatures. We need help. The good news is he's willing to, he's always there. As long as it's still called today, it's not too late. That's why the Bible says today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts like the Jews did back in the rebellion. He said, I was grieved with that generation. As long as it's called today, you and I have the opportunity to make it right. If we're in a dead church, we've changed that. Last week, remember that great revelation God gave us? If you are a tare amongst wheat, you can change that position. You don't have to remain a child of the devil. God said to me last week during this sermon, he said, I only have one son. It's not me, and it's not you. It's him. He only has one son. You and I are adopted children. We're all born a tare among wheat, all of us. The good news is, he wants to change that in our life. That's why the blood is so strong and so significant, and it'll chase any demon out of your house, the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood, like the songs that we sing. And he'll make a redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. All right, four was revival. Number five, repent. Make it right with God regarding your spiritual condition. David said this. He wrote this as a believer. Psalm 51:10. Create in me a pure heart. He didn't even have one. He was a believer when he wrote that. But he needed help and he recognized it. He said, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We need help. This is an evil world that'll chink away at our faith. David, this spiritual giant, prayed to Jehovah and asked him to create, like Dr. Frankenstein, create a new heart. You wouldn't think he needed that. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Okay, next up, the threat. If you don't wake up or watch, I am going to come upon you like a thief unexpectedly. So anyway, I was thinking, what do thieves steal? Valuables. He is threatening this pastor. If you people don't wake up, I am going to come when no one expects it, and I'm taking all of the valuables out of this church. How could it be anything other than that, Carol? He's going to come back and take everything valuable to him. He is going. That's his threat to this church. If you don't wake up,
There's people in there that want you to do better and want you to quit messing around and playing church. And he says, if you don't do it, Pastor, then I'm coming back in here and I'm going to take all of my valuables out of this church. And you'll be left here with a church full of dregs that ask what time the Dolphin game is on. Much as I love football, I love him more. Jesus is coming back, I believe, in our lifetime. That's my focus. That verse is screaming at me lately. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of these things will be added unto you, the things that you love, your heart's things you desire, and the things that you love. Watch. Listen to Jesus. For as the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. Funny, we just sang that song. And they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Two will be in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. Watch therefore, for you don't know, for you know not what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the goodman of the house or master of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. And I'm saying to you, he is coming to take his valuables out of this world. He's not stealing garbage. He's leaving the garbage behind. Maybe, I'm not garbage. I'm a good man. Jesus says no one is good but one, God. Are you able to measure up to that? Then you need help. Everyone in here from 6 years old, like the kids here, to 90, should expect him to return in your lifetime. And not only to expect him, but to remain watchful. Hebrews 9:28, it says, Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he will appear again, a second time, unto salvation. Is that you? Are you looking for his return? Do you have a crick in your neck? All right. Figuratively, he's talking. He's not saying you're going to hell if you're asleep. Are you living right? Are you living like Jesus is going to keep his word? Are you living like he's coming back in your lifetime? Do you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Don't you realize that when Jesus comes back, he's going to shut the door? When they asked him, they said, Lord, are there just a few people that'll be saved? Remember what he said? Strive to enter through the narrow gate, because many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. That's because once the master comes and takes all of the valuables, all the jewels out of this wicked world, this is what you got left. Many will try to get in, Jesus said, and will not be able. Once this master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand and knock at that door and say, Lord, I'm ready now. The game's over. I'm ready. And then he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. That's what he means. I believe he's coming back in our lifetime. We need to be watching and watching for his return by living right. He's coming back again to all of us that are looking for him to return. Is that you? Only you guys can answer that question. In Matthew 25, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. All right, verse 3. Remember, therefore, again, back to his instructions to this pastor. Remember how you have received and heard, hold fast, and repent. If, therefore, you will not watch, then I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Or in other words, you won't know when I'm going to do any of it, is what he's saying. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Notice why they're worthy. They're worthy because they keep themselves pure. They're worthy because of the things that they won't do, not the things that they do. They said no thanks to this evil world, with its snares and traps designed to trip you up. They're worthy because they said, no. No way, don't tempt me with that stuff. Luke 21, 36, watch therefore, pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things and stand before the Son of Man. I'll tell you what, he counts you worthy and me worthy when we say no to the devil and his presentation of all of the evil things he has in his little bag of tricks. All right, verse 5. When taken in context, this verse really provokes me to think. Remember the context. Jesus is sore at this bunch, this dead church. No commendation. He hasn't said any. There's no attaboys to these guys. They're not doing anything right. And yet still, here comes this great promise in verse 5. He said, he who overcomes. Now, notice this is conditional. It's conditional on you and I crossing the finish line in faith. Okay, everyone with me? To him who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What does he mean by this? He's not promising to take your name. He's not promising to erase your name out of the book of life. He's promising not to. Not to. Look. You cannot lose what you did not earn. You didn't save yourself. Ephesians 2 and 1 says, you he made alive who were D-E-A-D. What does that spell? Dead. Dead men tell no tales, and dead men don't save themselves. You're dead. John MacArthur calls it face down in the bottom of a swimming pool. Dead. The dead type of dead. When you're dead, you can't save yourself. You didn't save yourself. You cannot lose it. You cannot lose what you didn't do. This is not a promise to take your salvation. This is a promise that if you cross the finish line and not give up on him, that he said, by no means. It's actually a double negative. He says, I will not blot out your name from the book of life. But look what he's going to do instead. This is what I do in baptisms here. I will confess your name before my Father. So you cross the finish line, Jim? Cross the finish line, angels come and take you away. And then you're standing face to face with the Savior, and they say, Jim Ross, Son of God. And then he's got no problem remembering. I remember. He promises that he will confess your name before his Father and his angels up in heaven. All you got to do is believe. He's done all the work. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and believe in him. And don't let this evil world distract you. This world is out. It's diametrically opposed to your salvation and the things of God. And it's on a mission to take you out. That's why Jesus says to all seven of these churches, to him who overcomes, you have to cross this finish line in faith and not give up on him. You got to remain with him. The Bible says we overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That is, whoop, whoop, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he's my Lord and my Savior. And I'm not giving up on him. That is how you overcome the evil in this world. If you cross the finish line in faith, then there is not a blessed thing in this galaxy or beyond that can steal your salvation that Jesus purchased for you. No one can steal it because you didn't earn it. It was given to you as a gift. Okay, moral of the story. Or he who has ears, let him hear, he ends it with. To those who find themselves in a dead church. Let me read this verse, Proverbs 16:25. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the ways of death. You can apply that to the church that you were attending and to your own life. You could find yourself in any one of these seven churches. It's my hope and prayer is that you'll find yourself, if you are a member of this church, I promise you what, as the senior pastor of this church, we will continue to ensure it remains the way that it is. Because that's what we do here. And that's what a pastor is. He's a shepherd. He's got a crook. He keeps the wolves outside. And he protects those that are inside. I guarantee you, we will ensure that this church remains what it is. It's a place where you come in here to get healed, where you come in here and you'll hear from God, where God loves you and wants the best for you, and he'll tell you and instruct you what to do, and if you do it and make it right before you leave here, he's the perfect surgeon. He can cut any cancer out of anyone. He's never lost a case. His name is Jehovah. If you're in a dead church, I encourage you to change it and make it right before the Lord has to take things into his own hands. Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Have I told you about Boaters Exchange? Boaters Exchange is a family-owned boat store in Rockledge on US 1, right next to Rockledge Gardens. From Melbourne to Titusville, from Merritt Island to the beaches, Boaters Exchange serves the local community with boating supplies, boats, and world-class service as well. Boaters Exchange is a proud corporate sponsor and underwriter of the radio ministries of WMIE. They are available at 638-0090. Boaters Exchange was recently named one of the top 100 boat dealers in North America, and they are the only five-star dealer in Brevard. Once again, Boaters Exchange at 638-0090, 321-638-0090.
These monuments.